Yeah, well, turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 10. I'm sure most of you received the text message today, and I'm excited about it because the Holy Ghost is directing our church to be prepared for some very important meetings that are coming up here in just a little, a week and a half here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it. And of course, it's not just to prepare for church services. You know, it's not just a matter of, a schedule or a routine, but it's getting ready to receive a prophet of God. Yeah. Amen. And somebody that has been anointed, called, appointed to the Lord, not only to minister to this specific local church, but to the body of Christ. Amen. That has a voice in the body of Christ and a voice specifically into our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you were here the last couple of Sundays, you know that the Spirit of God has had us say quite a few things about these meetings that are coming up. The last two Sundays, we've had, a significant move of the Spirit in our Sunday morning services. And some of that, much of it has pertained to the significance of these meetings. You know, Jesus said over there in Revelation 2:29, he says, let he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Of course, number one way that God speaks to the church is through his written word. But also, there are messages that are delivered by the Spirit. And Jesus says, if you have an ear to hear, which I believe that pertains to all of us here tonight, he says, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, putting an emphasis and an importance and significance on what the Holy Ghost wants us to get so we don't miss the plans and purposes that he has for our lives. Amen. And so tonight I'm going to call this message the prophet's reward. Amen. The prophet's reward. And if you were here this past Sunday, of course, I didn't minister the sermon that I had planned. Of course, the Holy Ghost had some things for us to do. And then I spent maybe the last 25 minutes or so teaching on the prophet's office. And the leading was to make sure that we as a church are ready to receive those that God sends into our midst. You know, it's not just being here that counts, but it's being prepared and coming with the right heart, coming with the right mentality, and knowing how to receive from these gifts and these offices. Amen. But if you were here Sunday, of course, we went over there and we to Ephesians chapter 4, and we talked about the gifts that God has given unto men, right? And we saw in Ephesians 4:8 that when he, Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And of course, we make this point that these gifts that he's about to mention were given when he ascended. Okay, so these gifts were given to the body of Christ. They were given for the New Testament times. They were given for the era of the church that we now live in. Some call it the age of grace. Some call it the age of the church, which both are correct, right? Amen. And so he goes on to tell us in verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles. Notice, once Jesus ascended, he then gave gifts to the body of Christ, and he gave apostles. So notice, again, because see, if you were raised in a denominational church like I was taught that apostles went away. I was taught that that ministry office ceased to exist somewhere long back there, right around the first apostles. They were the apostles and there's no more. But the thing is that he gave gifts unto men. First apostles, see, Jesus, he released those gifts once he got there. Yeah, remember, the apostles were already with him before he ascended on high, all right? And so obviously that ministry office of apostle didn't end with those first 11 or 12, right? But that it was given to the body of Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. It says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And of course, most Christians today, they don't have a problem with the pastoral office. They don't have a problem with the teacher's office. They don't have a problem with the evangelist office. But then you mention prophet or apostle, and they get squirmy, and they get weird, and you know they get standoffish, and they don't believe that, and they reject it. Well, that verse, Ephesians 4:11, is talking about prophets and apostles just as much as it's talking about evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You can't say, well, we don't want the apostle, we don't want the prophet, we just want the pastor and the teacher. No, 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 you remove one, you remove them all. Because when God was thinking about giving gifts to us as the body of Christ, he gave anointings and offices, ministry offices, as a gift to us. Yes. It wasn't a gift to God. Right. It wasn't a gift to Jesus. Right. God doesn't need the apostle for himself personally. Right. Jesus is the great high apostle. He doesn't, you know what I mean? He gave those gifts for us, right? And we remember verse 12 over there in Ephesians 4, it says to do the work of the ministry, meaning to equip, it says to for the perfecting of the saints, or the equipping of the believers, so that the believers would do the work of the ministry, right? So the apostle's office is still in existence. It did not go away sometime in the past. The prophet's office is still in existence. It did not expire. It did not go anywhere. It is a gift for the body of Christ. All right, there were Old Testament prophets and there are New Testament prophets. All right, there's a difference. And just because, you know, our tradition or maybe our denomination growing up didn't like or accept that, listen, their methods of man does not scrub away truth out of the Bible, right? Amen. The word apostle means a sent one. All right, and a lot of times, modern day apostles will be sent to different nations. They'll be sent to different locations. Sometimes they'll be sent to the body of Christ with a specific message to kind of reignite that message within the body of Christ. All right, and so the apostle's office is someone that is sent. A lot of times, not every time, but sometimes people that we call missionaries, in God's eyes, they would be technically called apostles. They are sent, all right? Apostles are also, in the scripture, they are church starters, okay? And Paul said this. He said, the signs and wonders of an apostle were wrought in your midst. Remember when Paul said that to the Corinthians? He said, the signs and wonders, or you could say it this way, the miracles of an apostle were wrought in your midst. And so miracles, signs, and wonders also follow that office, all right? And then there's a different office called the office of the prophet, all right? And we spent time, you know, talking about this Sunday morning, that a prophet is somebody that will see and know into the realm of the Spirit, all right? They will be used in the revelation gifts that are typically called and outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They will be used in the word of wisdom. They will be used in the word of knowledge. They will be used in the discerning of spirits plus prophecy, all right? Those are the three gifts, revelation gifts, as outlined in the scripture. The word of wisdom is things and information pertaining to the future. Yes. The word of knowledge is divine knowledge given to somebody about something pertaining to the past or present. Right. All right? And the discerning of spirits is not called the gift of discernment. Right. Nowhere in the scripture is it called the gift of discernment. Yeah. You know, I know, boy, hear the holy hush, because there's people... And I've told this story 100 times, I could tell many stories. I've met many different Christians who said, I have the gift of discernment. I can tell when somebody's good and when they're being sincere, and I know when they're good and I know when they're bad. No, that's not called the gift of discernment. That's called the gift of suspicion. That's called walking out of love, not thinking the best and the highest of somebody, you know? Oh, I know. Well, isn't that funny how God told the prophet Samuel? He said, man can only look on the outward, but God looks at the heart. And when someone says, I can discern whether someone's good or bad, they're saying that they can look into a person's heart. They're lying. That's untrue. It's false. Now, there is something called discernment that Christians should just have. It's what our society calls common sense. You know? Christians should be filled with the most common sense as compared to every other people group on the face of the planet. There should be more common sense among God's people. Yes, good. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. You know, just sense enough to hear the voice of God, and it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. You know, common sense. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the discerning of spirits is not the ability to tell whether someone's good or bad. The Bible would define it as the ability to see and hear into the realm of the spirit. Of course, there's more, you know, some people say, oh, I see demons all the time. and I'm using the discerning of spirits. I just see demons, demons, demons. No, if you're using in discerning of spirits, demons aren't the only spirit being in that realm. There's also angels in that realm, all right? The Holy Ghost is in that realm. Jesus is in that realm. God the Father is in that realm. And so we have to know and understand that discerning of spirits is seeing and hearing into the realm of the spirit. And a prophet will be used more in those gifts more than laymen or other offices. I am not a prophet. I am a pastor. I am a teacher. I am not an apostle, and I'm not an evangelist, though the Bible does say a pastor can do the work of an evangelist. Actually, we all can, in the sense of promoting salvation among the unsaved. But that's not what constitutes an evangelist office. If you ever want to see what a modern-day evangelist looks like, look at Reinhard Bonnke. If you ever heard of the evangelism that he has led for about 50 years over there in Africa, you will see the miracles, signs, and wonders that will follow a true New Testament evangelist. There is one right there. Praise God. But the prophet's office will be used in at least two out of the three revelation gifts plus prophecy. What prophecy is speaking forth inspirationally by the Spirit of God. All right? And so we went over some of these things on Sunday morning, and I just like to cover them again because that office is so hotly contested. It is debated, you know, but when you look at the scripture, there's no debate. And we saw Sunday morning, Jesus said in Mark chapter 6, he said, a prophet is not without honor, save within his own country and among his own kindred, right? And Jesus, it says that Jesus there could do no mighty work. And because of their dishonor, remember, and he says he marveled at their unbelief, right? Remember, he came into his own home synagogue, and they called him the carpenter. They called him the son of Mary. They called him the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas there and all that. And it was a dishonorable thing, right? And, of course, when there was dishonor, the mighty works could not happen, right? And Jesus called their dishonor, he called it unbelief. Because you know what was happening that day? There was a bunch of skeptics sitting there. A bunch of, you know, suspicious people sitting there, you know, suspect of who Jesus was and what he was called to do. Now, of course, was Jesus, when he was on this earth, was he a prophet? Yes, he was. He called himself one. Amen. And you know what? He was also an apostle, right? He was also a pastor. He was also an evangelist. He was also a teacher. He was the only human being that ever was on this earth that was that dwelled in all five of the ministry offices at once. Right. All right. Now, there's people that will stand in multiple offices, but no one will ever stand in all five at once. Jesus did that, right? So we see by the scriptures that prophets are for today. All right. And there are those that are gifted and anointed in that office. Praise the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that we have somebody coming to this church who is gifted and anointed and used in that office. I don't think she advertises herself as such, but as a pastor, one of the things, you know, I'm called to do is to see and to know the gifts upon people's lives. And it's very evident and obvious that she's used in that office. And so that office requires a knowing, a know-how of how to receive it. That office requires, see, it's not too difficult for people today to receive a pastor. They can receive a pastor. My gifts, the pastor and teacher, are the most palatable in all the body of Christ. You know, which I'm grateful for. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean people like me wherever I go. But they're the most palatable. They're the most understood. They're the most accepted. The prophet's office is probably the least accepted in the body of Christ today. And so it's my job to teach and to prepare somebody how what that's going to look like, you know, how to receive that office when they come into our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, well, come on, there's no woman prophet. Oh, yeah? How about Luke chapter 2? Anna, she is called what? A prophetess. All right? And if there's one, who was it? Anna was there when Jesus was brought to the temple when he was 8 days old. And she spent much time serving God in fastings and prayers. Amen? And so you say, well, they don't exist in the Bible. I just told you where to find one, right? Luke chapter 2, you can read about Anna, And of course, Simeon was there as well. Praise the Lord. But these meetings are very significant. And I know that the Spirit of God has been emphasizing these meetings. And it's not because, you know, I'm looking for a new way to make sure there's attendance here. There's going to be plenty of people here, all right? You know, we have the family churches. There's a lot of other ministries that are local that people will be here. It's not about, though it'd be, you know, we want to fill the place up, you understand, but that's not why the Spirit of God is speaking to us about this. It's not just a promotional tactic. It's to get you ready because he wants to do something, because he has chosen that time and that place for us to receive. And when the Spirit of God will do that, he'll tell you, just like Jesus did. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem. Go and wait in Jerusalem. Go and wait. Why? Because that was the time and that was the place that he had reserved them to receive something. There's a time and then there's a place for us to receive. It's my job to communicate that to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last night, my wife, of course, here at the church, she leads a prayer group. And, of course, my wife and that group are the leading supply of prayer for this church and for my life personally as the pastor. And my wife came home from prayer, and, you know, she told me about, you know, this experience of what the Lord said to her concerning these meetings. Of course, if you were here the last two Sundays, this will correlate right along with what the Holy Ghost has been sharing about these meetings. And so I wanted my wife to come up and to just spend a couple minutes, you know, for her to testify. I could tell you the story, but it's always more impactful when the person who had that experience tells it and shares it. So, love, if you wouldn't mind taking the microphone here and just for a few minutes, tell us what the Lord shared with you concerning these meetings.
Hallelujah. So last night we came together to pray, and we came together to pray for a few things, but in particular the Dufresne meetings. And I was sitting over here in my normal seat, and as I was praying there, I felt to come up to the front. And so I started walking back and forth from that side to that side of the platform. And as I did, you know, have you ever seen little kids when they first learn how to count and they use their fingers and they go like this and they point to their fingers and they'll go one, two, like that. And so as I was walking back and forth up here in front of the platform, I was praying in the Holy Ghost and I started doing this. And just by revelation, I knew in the spirit I was counting. And so I kept doing it, and the Lord didn't say anything. And so if something is happening in the spirit and there's something that's going on, you need to ask. And so I said, Lord, what am I counting? And he said, you're counting the blessings. And so, and then he didn't say anything else. So I kept praying in tongues, and as I'm praying in tongues, I don't know what exactly I'm saying except that I keep counting. And so as this happened and I'm going back and forth in front of the platform, I said, Lord, okay, the blessings, who are they for? And again, I go back and I'm still praying in the Holy Ghost. Just as I touch each finger, I know I'm counting, and he said, for the faithful man. And so then we continued to pray again in the Holy Ghost, and I could not, every time I touched one of my fingers, I knew I was counting another blessing for the faithful man, and I just kept going back and forth. And everyone else was here, and they're in the congregation at different places praying, all the other women that were here. And so I kept going back and forth, and all I could do was count. And I just kept, in the spirit, you understand. I'm just going, bratato sopra, debeshidi, hisigambra, maybe not those exact words, but as I touched each finger, I kept counting another blessing. And so it went on and on and on, and I didn't sense to ask another question or that there was another revelation with it except this. When I had been doing that for some time, I knew I'm going to have to move on to pray for the next thing that we came to pray for, because I'll never reach the end. I'll just never be done counting. I'll just stand up here nonstop till I go home to meet the Lord counting, because his blessings never end. And so that was in regard to the Dufresne meetings, when we were here praying for those meetings. Amen.
Yeah, and like I said, that coincides with the Holy Ghost has been saying the last couple of Sunday mornings. And folks, you know, I don't need to say this, you know, to this church. You know, you know, if something needs to be said, I just say it. I'm not going to flower coat anything. But there's going to be some dramatic breakthroughs at these meetings. There are people that have been waiting for something. They've been waiting for that direction. They've been waiting for that breakthrough. And it's coming.
Amen.
It's coming. And praise the Lord. And I'm just telling you, you know, when these things start happening, it is the Holy Ghost telling us where to be and when to be. Because it's going to happen. Amen. And as some people, you know, and I've noticed every year, of course, we have had a new attendance record every year. So it's not, again, it's not about us needing people for these meetings. Praise God. It's you know what I mean? We're not doing this for this church atmosphere. You know, we're not doing it for this building. We're doing, you know, these meetings are being held for our benefit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we've seen, you know, more and more people, you know, attend these meetings. But again, that isn't the point. You know, the Holy Ghost is letting us know what he's about to do and when he's going to do it. And now it's my job to communicate how to receive it. How to receive it. So are you ready here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. So go in your Bibles. I had you over there in Matthew chapter 10. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 40. And now we're going to see how the Lord prepares us to receive these ministry offices when they come into our midst. And folks, I've seen over the last several years that our Sunday night meeting is always the biggest meeting. You know, and people will come that first night. And, you know, maybe it's a big explosion that night, maybe it's not. You know, and then if it didn't just quite happen the way they wanted it on the first night, they stay home the other nights. You know, these meetings are all one. There are five pieces to this puzzle. And the picture will not be complete unless you have more pieces. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you can be there for all five, I suggest you do what it takes to be there for all five. Amen. I'm just being the messenger. My role is to prepare the way.
Amen.
Amen. Prepare the table to get you to pull up a chair because God wants to do something for you. Hallelujah. So let's go over here to verse 40. Jesus speaking in Matthew 10. In verse 40, he says, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." And of course, I showed you on Sunday, John chapter 13 and verse 20, that says, he, you know, Jesus talks about receiving those that he sends. You know, he says, "Those that receive he that I have sent receives me and sends, you know, receives him that sent me." And so Jesus is saying something very similar here. Again, he that receiveth you, he's talking about the ministers that he sends, receives me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth, in verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So in context, Jesus is teaching about how to receive God's people that he sends. All right, notice just in this verse, he mentions at least two classes of people. All right, two classes of godly people. He talks about the righteous man, and he also talks about the prophet. So notice not every righteous person is a prophet. All right, someone can be faithful, someone can be spiritual, someone can be obedient, someone can have a close walk with the Lord, but that doesn't make them a prophet,
right.
All right? But notice there's also the other class that he's talking about here is somebody who's in that actual office,
yeah.
All right? And he says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and we are going to get into that. And we're going to see here in just a little bit what the prophet's reward is and what it looks like. Praise the Lord. Stay with me here tonight. Say, well, this just seems we're going to get a lot of teaching. No. I'm preparing you. All right. You need to have what I'm going to share here tonight. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And before we go on, I want to just, again, whether you're taking notes or not, just listen. I want to give you some definitions of what a prophet is. Again, just to remind us, all right, a prophet is one of the fivefold ministry offices as listed in Ephesians 4, right, in verse 11. It is a fivefold ministry office. It is a gift to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That means it's a gift for you and I.
That's right.
It benefits us, right? It's not given just to benefit God, right? It's for us, right? Amen. All right. A prophet is first and foremost a minister of God's word. They are a divine interpreter, or you could say an interpreter of the divine will of God. All right. A prophet is a spokesperson for the Spirit of God. They are a seer into the Spirit. They are given divine inspiration to share with God's people. All right. And their ministry is marked by revelation gifts of the Spirit. I'll repeat myself. A prophet is one of the fivefold ministry offices. A prophet is a gift to the body of Christ, or we could say it this way, a gift to our lives. A prophet is a minister of God's word. They are an interpreter of the divine will of God. A prophet is a spokesperson for the Spirit of God. They will speak on behalf of God's Spirit. They are a seer into the realm of the Spirit. They will see and hear. They're given to that. They're given to divine inspiration to share with God's people. Divine inspiration. It's a very inspirational gift. Their ministry is marked by the revelation gifts of the Spirit. Or you could say it this way, that office is earmarked with the signs and wonders of the Holy Ghost. All right? So that's who a prophet is. And you say, well, is there a difference between an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet? Yeah, there's some differences. There's no prophet on the earth today that is going to write new scripture or make new doctrine. All right? Don't misunderstand me. That class of prophet does not exist. There is nobody on this earth today that stands in the same measure of the prophet's office as Paul did, or as Isaiah did, or Daniel, or Jeremiah did in the Old Testament. All right? There's nobody that is going to be used to author divine scripture anymore. The Bible is a sealed book. No one's going to add to that. But how many of you know the Spirit of God is still alive and well today? And we need people that understand the Spirit of God and interpret the moves of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So let's talk about how to receive a prophet. Are you ready? In verse 41, Jesus starts giving us an idea. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. All right. Notice this verse also says we can receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man and receive a righteous man's reward. All right. And like I said, this tells us first that not all righteous men are prophets. All right. We know and understand this. But it does tell us how we are to receive them. All right, if somebody is a righteous human being, if they have sold out to God, if they've given their heart and their life to God, isn't it evident? Yes. How do you know if someone's a righteous man? By the fruit that follows them, right? By the fruit, Jesus said, you will know them. Amen. You know, by how they conduct themselves, meaning this, that there's proof and evidence that tells you somebody is a righteous man. I look out here, and of course, you know when we use the word man, it's mankind, right? Women included. I look out on this congregation tonight, and I see many of God's righteous here tonight. Right? I see the fruit of God in your life. I see it in your conduct. I see it in your behavior. I see it in the fruit that follows your life. Amen. So it's not hard to see righteousness on somebody's life because there's proof.
Sure.
They're tried, they're tested, they're true. All right? How about a prophet? Now, he's comparing a prophet and a righteous man. If we can notice and see somebody who is walking in the righteousness of God, shouldn't we also be able to see and notice the fruits and signs that follow somebody?
Yes.
Isn't there proof
yes.
of somebody who is in that prophet's office?
Yes,
there is. There's things to look for. They are tested in that office. They are proven in that office. And here's the thing about the prophet's office is that they are endorsed by others in full-time ministry.
Yeah.
Pastor Nancy Dufresne isn't asking for my endorsement. I'm giving it because as a man of God, I see that gift
yeah.
and I see that office in her life.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's out promoting her, you know, I don't believe she is, because unfortunately there's a lot of goofiness on Christian TV today. Well, everyone's calling themselves prophet so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. But the only thing is there is that the fruit doesn't follow them. You know, so Pastor Nancy isn't going out everywhere and said, Prophetess Nancy Dufresne. No, I mean, she pastors this church, and so she's Pastor Nancy Dufresne, you know. But I see that that office of prophet is growing and growing in her life. I even had, and I don't believe I would be out of school for saying this, I had a private conversation with Dr. Dufresne, with Pastor Nancy was there. It was just us three one time. It was an honor. We were actually riding in my vehicle. And I started to see this, you know, and of course, a lot of people did. It wasn't just me, you understand. But I would just turn to doctor. I said, doctor, am I missing it? Or is Pastor Nancy starting to grow and flow, you know, into the prophet's office? You know, and, you know, she didn't say anything. She wasn't out to promote it. And this was several years ago. And, you know, he just looked at me and said, yep, you know, I mean, he acknowledged it without saying too much. And, of course, since then, you know, I've just seen more and more and more God using her in that office. Amen. And so the proof is there. The evidence is there. Glory to God. You'd have to be about a spiritual log not to know and understand what she's moving into and how God is using her and raising up her voice. Of course, she already travels all around the world, but, I mean, her voice is getting bigger and bigger in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this church is going to receive her honorably, right? In the name of a prophet, right? We receive them based on the fruit they are known for, all right? They are proven, tested, and endorsed by others that are in full-time ministry. To receive them means to embrace, to approve, and to give ear to, all right? So what's going on is when someone comes into our midst who stands in that office, we need to already know that they are in that office, but instead of showing up to try to prove their authenticity. If you show up to a service just to be a spectator to try to decide whether they're authentic or not, you are showing up as suspicious. You're showing up to authenticate. You're there to sit in judgment other than receive. Jesus said, you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. You don't go out there and have to prove and test their authenticity. Come on now. It's going to be hard to sit there. It's going to be hard for an atmosphere to be created where God can move if that atmosphere is suspicious and skeptical. That is why so many churches can ever have this office even step foot into their church, because they're nothing but skeptics, they're nothing but suspicious, and God can't move through that office. Jesus said, if you receive them, you have to receive them ahead of time in the name of a prophet, meaning I know that they're a prophet, they're endorsed by the fruit that follows them, they're endorsed by spiritual leadership. Amen. Folks, I'll be honest, I don't just hand out my endorsement of spiritual ministry offices to just anybody. If someone stands in this pulpit, it is because they are tested and proven. I would never risk your faith. I would never risk your well-being. I would never put your lives at risk for a half a second if I thought someone was questionable at all. People, there's other churches, they just have whoever stand in their pulpit. If someone's standing up here, it's because I can give them a rubber stamp and you have complete confidence that what you're getting is the real deal. And thank God that we have pastors that protect us and keep us safe. Amen. So I'm here to let you know how God is using her so we can embrace, we can approve of and give ear to. Amen. This means we receive them as being the real thing. We must already have confidence beforehand that their ministry is legitimate. We must already know beforehand that their ministry is legitimate. Hence why the Spirit of God has been preparing us over the last couple of weeks. Amen. Of course, many of you already know, but we have new people with us all the time.
Sure, that's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It is my job to remove skepticism before they arrive. That is my job. I am here in this church to clear the room of skepticism so that ministry office can step in and flow. Praise God. See, my ministry office Now, folks, don't misunderstand this. Someone that comes in, the authority structure in the local church doesn't change because someone in that office comes in. Right. Pastor Nancy does not come in here and start telling people what to do. She doesn't take authority over me or anything like that. I'm still the pastor of the local church. Sure. Actually, Dr. Dufresne, every time Dr. Dufresne, who had one of the greatest anointings in the prophet's office in our modern times, when he would walk in to this church, and when he first started coming here, I was in my 20s. I was a pastor in my late 20s, and Dr. Dufresne, who had been in ministry at that time for 45 years, now, you know, before he went home, he completed 50 years, and when he would walk in, he would come into my office, and he would stand there, and he would just kind of like bow his head a little bit and say, I remember him just putting his hands out like this and say, here I am, pastor, to serve this church. You just tell me what I can do to be a blessing to this church. Here it was, such a mighty prophet of God. Now, in the body of Christ, he had a much higher rank than I did, but in this local church, he would come and submit under the pastoral authority. Pastor Nancy does the same thing. So it doesn't change the structure. It's not like she comes and I take orders from that office. I don't. When it comes to this local church, the pastor is the one in ruling authority. But we're talking about people that are humble. We're talking about people that are submissive to the local church structure. People that truly have a heart to put something good into our lives. Right? Amen. And so this is something and somebody in an anointing that we can be fully confident to receive. Amen. Glory to God. See, it is my job to instill confidence in the people. Skeptics do not receive a prophet's reward. Skeptics do not receive a prophet's reward. Oh, come on. Well, we're excited about that. All right. An atmosphere of suspicion does not cater to miracles. No, it doesn't. A suspicious person doesn't receive miracles. A skeptic doesn't have breakthroughs. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, when those meetings kick off a week from Sunday, I want you to come in here fully ready. Suspicion is checked at the door. You're just ready to receive. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yep. Like I said, people that go to these meetings just to try to determine the authenticity of a minister won't get anything. So my job is to prepare the way of these other ministry offices. Amen. And I'm just telling you, you know, when I say this, this is not to boast about Family Church. It's not to boast about myself or anything. But I just think about how many churches that exist in America that would never get taught this. Just never. How that the devil has worked overtime to try to just scrub these ministry offices off the page. Oh, be grateful that you're in a place. That's what I say. And not because I'm the pastor. I just say I'm grateful that I'm in a place where this is not missed or ignored. Amen. Why? Because there's a reward at stake. There's a reward at stake. And guess what? That prophet's reward, it's not for Jesus. It's not for God. It's for the body of Christ. It's for all of us that are sitting in these chairs. So just think of the reward that's missed by so much of the body of Christ. Because how can you receive a prophet's reward if you don't even believe they exist? Because if a prophet doesn't exist to you, then the reward doesn't exist to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Yep. All right. All right, here's the second way we receive them. Are you ready? We magnify the office. We magnify the office. When it says we receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, we're not receiving them in the name of their personal name. We're not receiving a prophet in the name of Nancy Dufresne. All right, you understand. It's not about the person, it's about the office. All right, you could turn there, but can you bring up Romans 11:13? Let's just take a look at this scripture. What did Paul say? Romans 11:13. What do you mean magnify the office? Well, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher, they're offices. All right? Much like in our civic government, the president is an office. All right? It is a room of authority. All right? You could say it this way, though. The apostle, prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher are the executive offices of the body of Christ. All right, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Paul says this, of course, Paul was writing to this church at Rome, and he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles," or you non-Jews, "inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." Now, Paul didn't say, "I magnify myself." He actually says just the opposite. He's trying to remain in humility so people don't misunderstand him. He said, "I magnify my office." In what office is he magnifying here? He's magnifying his office of apostle. He's saying, "I understand the importance of the office that I stand in for your life." He said, "I'm not magnifying it for my sake. I'm not magnifying it for my fame. I'm magnifying because," he's telling these people at Rome, he's saying, "there's something on my life that is necessary for you." Yeah. Right? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 11? Something that I would say ties into this. I believe that's the right verse. Am I right or am I wrong? We'll see. Wasn't planning on taking a look at it. He says, "For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." Right, right. So Paul's not saying, "I want to try to get your money or take something from you." He said, "I'm there. I'm magnifying that office because that office on my life has something to establish you."
Amen.
That means to root you, to ground you, make you more stable, more prepared, more equipped.
Yes.
Hallelujah. People have said, "Man, that Paul, what a prideful man. Saying, you need me." Well, he's not saying, he's not talking about himself personally. He's saying, "The office that I stand in is for you."
Yeah.
And he understood that.
Yes.
And he needed the people to say, "Listen, don't receive me because I'm Paul.
Right.
Receive me because of the office I stand in."
Amen.
You know? And I'll tell you what, every minister should have the confidence and the boldness to know and understand the office that's on their life and to know and understand how it blesses people. You know, amen. Praise God. Listen, I'm not trying to boast or to be braggadocious or anything like that. But I'll say this, as a pastor standing in that office has something essential for your life. It has, there's something essential in that office of a pastor that's for your life. I don't mind saying that because I'm not talking about myself. Because I didn't think of it, I didn't create it, wasn't my idea. So God gets all the glory, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, we magnify the office, all right? You receive them in honor for the office they stand in. Okay, every time the president's helicopter, Marine One, lands in the lawn of the White House, and before he, disembarks that helicopter, there are two soldiers, two Marines, that stand at the beginning of the steps, and they wait there, and they stand at attention. And as soon as that president, comes to that door, what do? I mean, up comes their hand. I mean, they are serious. They are honorable. They are ready. Whether they agree with his politics, whether whatever they know or don't know, right? Out of honor, because that man is in that office. And that office is received with honor. All right? And that's why our current president, remember, he caught a lot of flack because, and I personally didn't blame him. I thought, well, he's allowed to be a human being. He came out of the helicopter one time and he had a Starbucks coffee. I don't know if you remember that. He came out with a Starbucks coffee. And, of course, a president is supposed to, and should respect and honor and salute back. And he came out and he was in a hurry to get into wherever he was going. He comes out with a Starbucks and they salute him. And he's just like, he just, lifts the coffee. And I think I hit my microphone. But, he just kind of puts the coffee to his forehead as he kind of ran by. And everyone grilled him for it. And I said, "Oh, cut the man a break." He probably had something important on his mind, but it is. It was, a moment of honor, and that office is received with honor because of the office. Amen. Praise the Lord. I pray for this president, not because I agree for his politics, but I pray for him because he's in that office. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we receive this and we magnify that office. See, I know that these meetings are an appointed time by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And as that office comes in here, I'm ready to receive an honor.
Yes.
I'm ready to receive glory to God.
Amen.
All that God has for us.
Right.
Amen. So two ways to receive them. You receive them as the real thing, not as a skeptic, not as under suspicion. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to say something bold, okay? When I put my endorsement on something, I expect this church to trust me. We are in a relationship of trust. Amen. Praise the Lord. And to come in skeptical is to be skeptical of me. And you're allowed to be skeptical of me. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying it's going to be tough in this pastoral relationship if you're skeptical and don't trust your pastor. If I've given you any reason not to trust me, well, let me know. But I don't believe that I have in over 10 years of being the pastor of this church, all right? And so, and I've seen how these offices have blessed my life, changed my life, have established something so good into my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I tell you what, I would have been very prone to be unestablished. Not established. Inestablished. What's the right grammar there? I'm not sure, but I wouldn't have been that. I would have been very flighty. I would have just bounced through life. See, that's a lot of people's life right now. That might even be someone's life in here, where everything in life, you're like the ball in the pinball game. You're just off one trial and another desperate set of circumstances, and you're bouncing, and you're here, and you're there. You're not established. You didn't get rooted and stable. Well, guess what? Being here in the local church gets you started, and then you're going to hit the fast forward button in these meetings. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, well, I'm just behind the ball. You know, I've been bouncing around a long time in my life. Well, guess what? God knows how to redeem the time, catch you up. And it might as well start with these meetings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's talk about the prophet's reward and what it is. Because this is what you really came to hear. See, but I have to tell you how to receive them or else there's no reward. If you come in suspicious, no reward. You come in skeptical, no reward. It's just not going to happen for you. You know, if you don't magnify that office and you come already saying, Father, I'm ready to receive from the prophet of God. And some people get real uncomfortable saying that because they misunderstand. Maybe they've seen goofy stuff on Christian TV, or they misunderstand trying to think that we're trying to worship people. That's not the case. It's not the case. Not at all. It's the office. It's not even the person. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, wouldn't you, if you lived in the days of John and Peter and Paul and Andrew, you know, and Bartholomew, wouldn't you have liked to have sat under their ministry? Now, again, like I said, there's nobody on the earth today that stands in that class, all right? But the people that are in that office today, wouldn't you love to sit under, if you had an opportunity to sit under the ministry of Smith Wigglesworth, Lester Summerall, Kenneth Hagin. I mean, wouldn't you love to, you know, I'm very blessed for the time that I had to be a part of Dr. Dufresne's life. I mean, I was so blessed. And, you know, my relationship, believe me, I'm not trying to portray it as he and I were best buddies, but, I mean, I got to know him quickly and, you know, had a personal relationship in the, you know, in ministry that was just fantastic. And his ministry changed my life forever. Amen. And so don't miss the men and women that are in your life, that are on the earth right now.
Amen.
Amen, that are in that office. All right, the prophet's reward. Let me show you. Of course, Jesus said it. That should be good enough for us, but we'll just bring up a couple of other scriptures. Can you bring up 2 Chronicles 20:20? 2 Chronicles 20:20. And you can see the scripture does talk about receiving. And here, this is talking about King Jehoshaphat, and King Jehoshaphat was submitting before God. Israel was about to be invaded by two strong armies, and the prophets of Israel had stood up and prophesied that it would not be Israel's fight, but it would be God's, and God was going to defend them and give them the victory and so on. And so this is right after the prophet's speech. King Jehoshaphat's going to stand up and say something. And it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, the king, stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. All right. All right. So shall you be established. Yes. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper.
Yes.
How many of you want to be established and prosper?
Yes.
See, the word established means rooted.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to prosper until you're rooted and grounded. And then he says, you listen to the prophets, you're going to prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And that word prosper would definitely indicate reward.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to bring up another scripture here. Revelation 11:18 talks about eternal rewards for the prophet. Revelation 11:18. It says, of course, this is in the future yet to come. This is prophecy. It says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. This is during the great tribulation. It says, in the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, to the believers, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. But notice, there's coming a day God's going to hand out rewards to the prophets and to the believers.
Yes.
All right? Amen. So there's rewards here on earth, and there's rewards eternally.
Yes.
For prophets and for those that will listen and prosper and be established. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I wanted to first show you these scriptures. All right. The prophet's reward is twofold. Listen. All right? There's two ways or two modes of the prophet's reward. Number one, what that office manifests in your life will be a reward. Okay? The gift of prophet was not given, you know, for God, it was given for you. So there's a reward. Number one, that reward will come in the form of the manifestations, things that will show up in your life because you sat honorably under that office. All right? Praise the Lord. And to the prophet's reward, you will get what they have gotten.
Yes. Amen.
All right? If you honor the prophet of God, you get what they have also received. So there's a reward for the prophet, but the people that will receive that prophet honorably will get what they got.
Right.
I want to sit under people that have the blessing of God.
Yes.
That have the anointing of God. That have the faith of God, right? Because what is on their life will get on your life. Their faithfulness will get on your life. Their desire for the Spirit will get on your life. Their spiritual hunger will get on your life. Amen? All right? And they've gotten that reward through their lives of being faithful in that office. All right? Here's what we must know and understand. Every ministry office causes things to manifest in our lives. Amen. For instance, let's talk about the office that's in operation before you right now, the pastoral office, all right? Go to Psalm 23. Let me show you. Go to Psalm 23. I know we could all quote this together, couldn't we? We probably have it cross-stitched on a pillow somewhere, maybe in a doily or something. Praise the Lord. And so, but we're going to look at it maybe in a different light than we usually do. Psalm 23, starting verse 1. All right, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we know that word want is the word for lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Okay, but Jesus in the physical form, in the physical sense, is not here tonight or on this earth. He's at the right hand of the Father. Of course, he lives in all of us, all right? But now that we've looked at Ephesians chapter 4, he gave gifts unto men, and one of those gifts is the gift of pastor.
Yes.
And the word pastor means what? Shepherd. All right? And so studying the New Testament, it would not be stretching the scripture to say, the Lord has given me a pastor, I shall not lack.
Yes.
Of course, the Lord is the good shepherd. He's the high shepherd. There's no pastor greater than him. It all flows down, but he took of his gift, he put it in men and women to pastor or to shepherd on this earth, all right? I am not saying I'm Jesus. I'm saying Jesus is in me, and Jesus created the office of the pastor in which I stand in. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when he gave those gifts, because Jesus understood when he was on this earth, he was one man. And remember over there? Maybe just bring this up for me. Bring up Matthew 9:35. just so you can see what Jesus thinks about the pastoral office. All right? Matthew 9:35. Well, yeah, that's a great one, and we're going to go, we'll read it. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Yeah. That sounds like some pretty good church services right there. Yeah. All right. Verse 36 was actually what I wanted to get to. But when he saw the multitudes, notice everywhere Jesus was going, people were getting healed, they were being taught, they were being established.
Amen.
But notice, but how do you get better than that? But look at verse 36, the first word, but. As good as it is, as much as Jesus was doing, but. There was something that he wanted more. Something wasn't good enough. But when he saw the multitudes, he said, I'm preaching everywhere. Everyone's getting healed, but I can't get to everybody. He said, he saw all the people that he couldn't get to. He was moved with compassion on them because why? They fainted. That means they were weak. And they were scattered abroad, bouncing everywhere. No establishment in their life. As sheep having no shepherd. The word shepherd is pastor. He said, look at these people. They're scattered everywhere in life. They are faint. They're weak. Even though I'm preaching everywhere I possibly can, there's just too many people on the earth. I can't get to them. I need to make new, I need to make more pastors.
Right.
And so he gave gifts unto men.
That's right.
And he started to reproduce himself.
That's right.
To give pastors and shepherds after his own heart,
right?
And so he would establish them all throughout the body of Christ, all around the world, so that this would not happen anymore.
Amen.
So that everyone could have a pastor. Because he couldn't be in Jerusalem and Bethany at the same time. You know, but he could put gifts inside men and women that could be everywhere.
Amen.
Amen. So he looked upon these multitudes and he thought, I'm going to establish the office of pastor. I'm going to recreate myself and other men and women so that their needs will be met.
Amen.
Amen. So now go back to Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd or my pastor, I shall not lack. Or now you could say it as we study the New Testament, the Lord gave me my pastor, I shall not lack. All right? And so what's the manifestation of the pastor's office in your life? You not lacking anything. Hallelujah. You know, I realize in my life as I've looked since I've had a pastor for these last 15 years, my life has gotten better. It might not get better in 7 days or 15 days, but year after year after year after year, you just keep growing up higher. Amen. And so that is what? That is a manifestation of the pastoral office. Verse 2, he, my pastor, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Green pastures is an illustration of having a full supply.
Amen.
Green pastures, not brown pastures. God's people have been living in brown, dried up pastures for too long. Well, maybe because they've been sitting under men and women who weren't called to the office of pastor, or maybe they thought they could have a TV pastor, or maybe they don't have any semblance of a pastor at all in their life. He said, but your pastor is going to lead you into green pastures. Yeah. He leads me beside still waters. See, people without a pastor are scattered and faint, and their life is filled with chaos. Because as you sit under a pastor, you'll learn how to think right. You'll learn how to get the chaos out of your life. Hallelujah. What are these? These are manifestations of the pastoral office in your life. My life since I've had a pastor has been more green. Right? It's been more still, more peaceful. The pastoral office will create an environment in your life. It'll be still. It'll be peaceful. It'll have supply in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? These are manifestations of the pastoral office. All right? Verse 3. He restores my soul. With the way we'd say it in the New Testament, he renews my mind. The word soul would be more indicative of our mind and our intellect, our will and emotions. He restores, or you could say he renews my mind.
Yes.
Isn't that what's going on here tonight?
Yes.
Every Sunday morning we minister the word. What is that? It's renewing your mind. Oh, man. Oh, I'm so glad to have my mind renewed to this point. You need to keep going, but it's good to be here. says, he, my pastor, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for God's name's sake. Yeah, they stand as examples to lead you into right doing and right living. Amen. Verse 4, I could say every one of these verses is a sermon of itself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, my pastor, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah, your pastor's authority and your pastor keeping you safe. Yeah, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Verse 6. I mean, we could preach a sermon every one of these. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank God for shepherds. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now we need to ask ourselves, but what about the prophet's office? You know, what manifestations take place as we sit under that office? I want to show you because it says so in the Bible. Are you ready? All right. Here's what you can expect to receive sitting under the prophet's office. Are you ready? All right. Go to Acts 11:27. We were here on Sunday morning. We're going back. Oh, we'll get ready to wrap this up. But this is the part you've been waiting for. So right now, you just became in no hurry to go anywhere. Believe me. Acts 11:27. All right. And of course, a verse that I use on Sunday to prove the fact that there are New Testament prophets after Jesus arose into heaven. All right. And beyond the apostles. It says, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Jerusalem was the first church. Antioch was the second one. And it says, and there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, isn't that interesting? So a prophet came from Antioch, right? His name was Agabus. Wasn't one of the 12 original disciples or apostles. Notice he was one of these prophets, meaning there was more than just Agabus, but Agabus was who the Spirit chose to give this message. And that message was that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world. The word world there means the Roman Empire. It doesn't mean the whole globe. Which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. All right, and so notice, did the early believers, did they have a verse that said there was going to be a famine in that part of the world? It was something that the Spirit signified that was not included in Scriptures. Meaning that there was something coming that was going to affect the brethren, that was going to try to hurt and hinder and starve the believers. And the Spirit, by this prophet Agabus, in a word of wisdom, you know, tells something pertaining to the future so that these believers could be prepared and so that the famine would not hurt them.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
All right. So here's the first reward of sitting under a prophet, all right? They report on that which will try to affect the body of Christ. Yeah. They will make us aware of what is coming that may try to hinder your personal life, that may try to hinder this local church body, or what could try to affect the entire body of Christ. Oh, come on now. That's a great reward. That is a great reward. Those people that were sitting under Agabus' ministry that day just received a prophet's reward. Because they just got told, hey, famine's coming, time to prepare. No need to get hurt by it. Just think, I mean, when the Spirit of God lets us know that we're sitting in a day and a time where the economies of the world are shaky, and he speaks to you and starts telling you to prepare or he starts leading you to save or he starts leading you to give or he starts leading you to do something, he's preparing you. Oh, come on now. Yeah. See, a prophet can give a message that has a world view or a national view. They will speak to the big picture. They will speak to the body of Christ about the big picture. All right? They will have a needed message, perhaps an urgent message. Warnings of what to come so we can avoid. Sometimes the prophet's reward isn't just what we get, it's what we get to avoid. What a reward. Is not what we just get in terms of some, you know, physical manifestation, whether money or material things, but how about avoiding financial collapse? How about avoiding sickness and disease? How about avoiding some trap the devil has set in your future for you? How great it is to avoid these things. Listen, that is one part of the prophet's reward. Amen. Because why? Look at verse 29. So these believers start getting prepared. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So people started to prepare an offering. They started to prepare a supply to give to these Christians who were going to be affected by that famine. Hallelujah. He said, I love it. That's the Holy Ghost keeping the body of Christ one step ahead of what the devil's trying to do. That's a prophet's reward. But if you're skeptical, if there was somebody sitting there, this Agabus guy, is he for real? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if these prophets, Jesus ascended and went to heaven, but I'm not sure if these prophets are the real deal. If someone would have been sitting there suspicious, you know these people believed.
Right.
Agabus, why? Because they started getting ready. They started getting ready. They received and embraced and gave their ear to Agabus, who obviously had the proof and, you know, had stood the test of standing in that office.
That's right.
Amen. So it's not just what you get. It's also, a lot of times, it's what you avoid. What are you going to get to avoid that would have otherwise hurt your life after these meetings are done? There are people that will come through a set of meetings like this and they'll say, well, you know, I never got called out personally. Some great thing didn't just happen at the end of these meetings or during these meetings. I mean, they were good and I learned the word and, you know, and saw things and we rejoiced and everything. But, you know, really, there wasn't some big monumental circumstance that happened to me. Well, yeah, but you never got to see what you avoided. You never saw what you were spared from. It's not just what you get, it's what you get to avoid. Well, praise the Lord, glory to God. And it's because we sat under a prophet's ministry and received them. Amen. Go to Acts 15:32, another verse that we looked at on Sunday morning. We get some more prophets' rewards. What specifically we'll get. Go to Acts 15:32. You're just a few pages away. It says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves." Oh, there's a couple more prophets. There was Agabus and all the others that were at Antioch. Boy, Antioch must have been quite the church. I mean, it produced a lot of, you know, prophets and teachers. You can read Acts 13, verse 1. It says there were certain prophets and teachers at the church of Antioch, and it goes on to list five of them.
Sure.
So here we see more, you know, we see more prophets in the New Testament. Agabus was from Antioch. Here we see all these prophets in the New Testament after Jesus has ascended. Sounds like he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men.
That's right. Yes, he did.
That's what it sounds like to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says this. It says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves." So the Spirit of God in this scripture makes sure to tell us that they're prophets, because what is going to happen in the lives of the people is a result of that office. He says, "exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." Now, you just read that casually, it doesn't seem like some big, great reward. Well, I'm telling you, it is. Here's the second thing. The word "exhorted," it means to be strengthened with a desire to be faithful.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. They came, they sat under Judas, they sat under Silas's ministry, being prophets. They were strengthened with a desire to be faithful. All right? Also, you could say it this way. The prophet's office stirred a spiritual hunger in the people. That is a reward. Yes. Some of us are sitting around waiting, okay, when's the money going to show up? Come on. Some of you are still quiet because you probably just got scalded. You're like, well, yeah. You know, no. See, listen, Money is not the result. Money doesn't produce spiritual hunger. Money doesn't produce a desire to be faithful. A desire to be faithful and spiritual hunger will produce your needs being abundantly met. Don't get it out of order. Say, well, I'm waiting for one. Is that who we are? Is that what Christians are? Just people that are sitting there looking at God saying, where's my money? Is that what God's people are? Yeah, they better not be. We should just go on and be faithful and do whatever God says, and then it'll be His part to meet all of our needs. God's going to feed you. He is going to clothe you better than you've ever been clothed. He is going to put, you know, more into your life than you've ever dreamed possible. But it's at the other side of you obeying Him, you being generous, you breaking into new levels of giving. Say, well, God, I'm waiting for you to provide for my house. He's saying, funny, I was thinking the same thing. God's saying, that's what I was thinking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So they strengthened these people with a desire to be faithful. They stirred a spiritual hunger in them. They also stirred a desire for things of the Spirit. Amen. Judas and Silas interjected life and vitality into these people's spiritual walk. You could say it this way, they ushered them closer to God. They stirred a spiritual hunger, a desire to know God, a desire for the things of the Spirit. Oh, come on, that's a reward. Because you can't receive what you don't have desire for. If you have no desire for something, you will never receive it, because God requires you to have a desire. God will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you've received them, and then you shall have them. If you have no desires for anything more, guess what you're going to get? Nothing more. Nothing more. Yeah, God needs to move on your desires. Move through your desires. If there's no desire there, and so it's such a wonderful thing when He moves people into our lives that stir and provoke a desire. They provoke a desire. See, when I spend time with Pastor Nancy, you know, and I realize the way she knows God and the things that she has had happen to her and the things of the Spirit and stuff like that, no, that doesn't mean we're all going to be prophets. I'm not planning on being one. You know, I don't believe that that's my call in life. I don't believe I'm called to that office. If God changed that, well, I would obey, but I don't foresee that being the case. It's not that we try to get into her office. You know, we don't try to get into the office of prophet. But as I just spend time and you see someone with that relationship with God, it makes you hungry for it. Yes. Makes you hungry for it. Amen? Amen. Amen. When I spend time and I see her vision in ministry, you know, it enlarges my vision.
Yeah.
Right? It gives me a desire to be faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right. Here's the third thing, the prophet's reward. It says that they also confirmed them. They exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. All right. What this is in reference to is to confirm the leading that God has put into your heart already. It's good to have those things. God will start to put things in your heart. And a lot of times we waver, you know, and sometimes we say, yeah, is that God or is that me? Is that God or is that me? And a lot of times as you sit under a prophet's ministry, you're going to get those things confirmed.
Amen.
What does that mean? You're going to get better direction.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this, the prophet's office, it's like a cortisone shot for the direction of your life. You know what I mean? It just brings a whole bunch of clarity right then, right there. Sometimes it takes the pastoral office a while to get that clarity over to you. But there's times when a prophet comes in and, you know, of course, what the pastor does is the pastor ties all the firecrackers together. You know, you can do, you know, one of two things in your services. You can have a firecracker every time you get together. Or you can tie a bunch of firecrackers together, and then when the prophet shows up, guess what? We set them all off at once.
Yeah.
Amen. What have I been doing? I am just tying the firecrackers together.
Yeah.
Why? Because, you know, If you have a stubborn tree stump, and I know this is probably old school, we're not allowed to do this anymore because it's become illegal. I mean, you know. But, you know, now they have these stump grinders and all this stuff. But back in the day, and my grandfather would tell me stories, when they'd have a stubborn tree stump that they couldn't remove out of a farmer's field or whatever, guess what they would get? A dynamite. They'd stick a dynamite under that thing, light the wick, and run for the hills, you know. Boom! And just one explosion, you know, takes care of that stubborn thing that had been hindering them, you know. But what if they put a firecracker under it? You know? Pop, 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 you know, nothing happening. But if you tie them all up and build them up and increase it to the power of a stick of dynamite, then that thing is going to be unrooted, taken care of, removed all at once. See, that's why I'm preparing you for this office. I'm tying the fireworks together so when she steps foot in here and that office comes in here, the room will be prepared. And we'll get to light all the fireworks all at the same time. And you know what your supply to each of these services are? Every one of our praise, our worship, you know, our attention. What are we? We're all like those firecrackers. And if we're all in one place, in one accord, we're just tying them all together. Pow. Right? Amen. See, the prophet's office will confirm the direction that you already had in your hearts. They help establish the plans. And the plans of God become more substantive in your life. You get answers. And all of a sudden, instead of that compass, you know, your compass needle is just bobbing back and forth. Oh, man. You know, when I was a sailor and I had sail training, I sailed from West Palm Beach, Florida, way over into the eastern part of the Bahamas. And we were, you know, several hundred miles. And so, I mean, I'm out there in the ocean over, you know, overnight and all that. And I would have my watch. And I would be in command of the ship. We had a 44-footer that we were on. And I would be on watch. I'd be at the helm. And my watch was midnight to 3 a.m. And you have to set a certain course, your compass. You got to watch that. You can't just let it, so what, it drifts 5 degrees this way or 3 degrees that way. You do that, by the time you travel a few hundred miles, you're going to end up nowhere near your destination, you know. And then the captain yells at you and says naughty words to you. Like, anyway, praise the Lord. You know, and so you really have to sit there. And, you know, when I was out there and there's this beautiful night and there's moon and all that, and I'll never forget it. Just gorgeous out in the middle of the ocean, just dark everywhere. You know, awesome. This, anyway, I'll write you a poem about it some other time. But, you know, you're sitting there, you're trying to enjoy the beautiful evening, but you got to watch that compass. You know, you got to keep that thing steady. And there was this guy that was on our training course with us. He had never sailed before. I had owned a boat and, you know, sailed on Lake Erie, so I had some experience. And this guy, he was from Mars, Pennsylvania. Mars. He was from Mars, right near Pittsburgh. And he was a real funny guy, middle-aged guy. And, you know, he had this, like perfectly slicked back gray hair with, like, a nice mullet in the back, you know, hair coming down, you know, tank top, like looked like he had been tanned in the sun for, like, a week straight, super tan. And he had all these gold rings. And his name was Bill. And he had these huge, big gold rings. And if there's one rule on a sailboat, you do not wear rings. Like, they would always tell you, you know, if you even have a wedding band, get that off. There's all these lines and, you know, all this stuff going on. Something gets caught on that, it's going to just yank your finger right off, you know. And but he just insisted he was going to wear his rings. Now, the good news is that he didn't lose a finger. That's the good news. But the bad news is that he didn't know how to steer a boat, and it was extremely annoying. He's got big, huge gold rings on all fingers. And the big ship's wheel, guess what it's made out of? Aluminum. And so he's up there trying to keep that compass needle straight. And it's going back and forth. And he every time he would turn it, it would be tink, 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 tink. Tink, 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 tink. Tink, tink, tink. And I remember... I was down, I was given food duty, and I was down in the galley, and I'm making everybody sandwiches, and I mean, you know, I hear tink, 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 and I'm like, oh, I got a knife, I'm cutting, oh, tink, 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 you know, I'm hearing his Bill, and everyone would shout up to the cockpit, Bill, will you keep the boat straight for half a second? But you know what, that's what a lot of people's lives are. Their compass needle is flapping all over the place. And then a prophet comes in, and that your compass needle was going all over, all of a sudden, boom, you get the exact course, the exact direction, and you don't have to be Bill up there, tink, 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 and everyone around you, whoa, tink, 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 tink. I know it's a really strange illustration, but it makes sense to me. Because you can affect people, but if your life is off course, you know, how that affects your kids, how that affects your family, they're all waving around with you because you're up there, tink, 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 tink. Oh, and of course, he always insisted, oh, it was so funny, he insisted on always having a cigar in his mouth. And of course, he had a lit cigar in his mouth. And of course, you know, you're in the wind and everything, ashes are blowing off the thing. And finally, the captain, who was this old naval officer, and so he was a tough sort until he got seasick and he couldn't sail the boat, and me and this other kid had to, but that was fun. And so Bill had this thing up there, and of course he's up there, tink, 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 and the captain's down trying to do something down below, and the boat's moving. And he just comes, he walks right by me. I'm standing at the little table down there. He walks right by me, comes right up, and just walks right up to Bill's face, grabs a cigar out of his mouth, chucks it out of the water, and just tears into him. Bill! I can't tell you the rest of what he said. Because then my compass needle would go everywhere. But don't be the guy standing at the ship's wheel. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. Get your course. Keep your course. A prophet's office is going to help that.
Amen.
You're going to walk into those meetings. If your compass needle, you know, I'm not sure, this way, this course, that course, it is going to get set once and for all. Hallelujah. All right. Here's another part of the prophet's reward. They're stump pullers. And let's just wrap this up. They're stump pullers. Like I said, you know, things that are stubborn, and it seems like trials that are just sticking around, and something just won't get out of your life. It just seems like, you know, you've done what you've tried to do. You've been faithful as you know how. You know, maybe you just started confessing your faith. Not saying that your faith won't work, but they will come alongside your faith. There's an anointing on their life, and it will destroy that yoke.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There's something about the prophet's office that it's just explosive. Like I said, it's like that dynamite that takes that stump right out of the way. And what does that mean? It means that there's sudden breakthroughs.
Yes.
Sudden breakthroughs. They accompany that office. For the sake of time, we're going to wrap this up. Last but not least is correction. Correction. It's a reward to receive a correction under a prophet of God. You know, so many times believers, they come to church, they come to meetings like this wanting something like, and so many times, like I said, you know, why the body of Christ is always, God, I need money, God, I need money. You know, that gets a little old, you know, to be honest. How about, you know, Father, I just thank you. You meet and supply all my needs. But they don't come to church desiring correction. You know, it's like, that's usually the least what they want. But it should be near the top of our list. Father, I thank you. Correct me if need be. Right? Show me if there be any wicked way in me. What is that? Psalm 137? 139? It's over in there. David said, Lord, you know, reveal any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we should desire correction. It should be actually one of our favorite things to receive, even though it does not feel good on the flesh. Correction. It, you know, like Pastor Nancy says all the time, it's not the right things that you're doing that are hurting your life. It's the wrong things.
Yeah.
I want to hear what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
I say that to Pastor Michael all the time. When I meet with my pastor and I just say, Pastor Michael, if you see something in my life that you need to correct, please do. I just want to be corrected. And I'm, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, that'll make him all happy. But he turns and looks at me real sternly. He said, believe me. If there's something wrong in your life, you won't need to ask me to correct you. I'm like, yes, sir, you know, because that's right. Because, I mean, thank God, I am very grateful to be instantly corrected.
Yeah.
You know, amen. And I'm not going to tell you when he does. That'll be for me and the Lord to know. Amen. Praise God. Did you get something out of this here tonight? The prophet's reward. The prophet's reward. Amen. Right? Reporting on things that'll affect the body. Right? Meaning not what necessarily what things you'll get, but what you'll avoid. Amen. Being strengthened with a spiritual desire. Praise the Lord. Being confirmed in the direction that God has for your life. Pulling stumps, stubborn trials. They need to go in correction. Praise the Lord. And of course, the prophet's reward, again, like I said, what is on their life will get on you.
Right.
And you probably hear me talk about it. It was the Monday night of the last set of meetings that we had when Dr. Dufresne was still with us on this earth. And I was sitting where Pastor Brad is sitting, and I still have the picture of it because Pastor Michael is always taking pictures, you know, even during service. He loves to take pictures with his iPad and that, and he got a picture. And Dr. Dufresne just came over to me right there, and he just put his hand on my left shoulder here, and he just stood there quiet. And as he did, the anointing of God came on me so strong. I mean, I'm just telling you, I just got just absolutely hooched in the spirit, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I was pretty much incoherent for the rest of the night. And it was just such a powerful presence of God, anointing of God that came on me. Well, after those meetings were done, that was in June, and then Doctor went home to be with the Lord in October of 2013. And, you know, of course, that was upsetting. Just naturally speaking, you know, you don't want to see your spiritual granddad go home, you know, and, you know, you get selfish in that regard. And, you know, I was asking the Lord, you know, but there was more. There's things that I wanted to get from him and stuff. And then the Lord reminded me and said, remember that Monday night when he put his hand on you? He said, you were getting all that you were going to get from him. He just sat there for several minutes. And, you know, what was on his life partially is on my life. Amen. And not because I'm a prophet. I'm not. I'm a pastor. But that helps.
Amen.
It's the reward.
Amen.
It's the prophet's reward. And it exists. And Jesus said it. And we need to know and we need to understand this. And so you've been prepared.
Amen.
All right. We may talk about it some more on Sunday morning.
Amen.
You know, the last few Sunday mornings, we just don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, I've prepared these sermons, and then the last couple Sunday mornings, I stand up here, and all this other stuff that God has us to do, and the teacher in me, the teacher wants to just teach, but we're going to follow the Spirit of God, no matter what he tells us to do. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray.